All right, so let's go a little bit weiter here in Siman Sadi Aleph. The primary Gemara to see for the beginning of Siman Sadi Aleph, as I mentioned, is really a sugya in Maseches Psachim. So since you don't have Psachims on you, I'll just tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara Psachim Daf Ayin Heyam and Beis going over to Ayin Vav Amid Aleph tells us Itmar Cham Letocham Divrei Hakol Aser. Everyone holds that if you have hot food mixed with other hot food, one meat, one dairy, or one treif, one kosher, everyone agrees that's aser. He transfers tam, and that's going to aser everything. Tzonein l'toch tzonein, divrei hakol, mutter. Cold and cold, everyone holds, is mutter. That's what we discussed yesterday, that at most you're going to require hadacha. But everyone holds it is technically mutter. Cham l'toch tzonein, v'tzonein l'toch cham. Ooh, now it gets tricky. What if something hot goes into something cold, or something cold goes into something hot? Is there a transfer of taste from one to the other, between one and the other? So Rav Amar Ilo Agavar, Ushmuel Amar Tasa Agavar. Maybe both of these opinions are counterintuitive, right? Intuitively, I would have assumed that the answer is either yes or no, that one of the items being hot is enough to transmit taste or not enough to transmit taste. Or maybe intuitively I would have thought that if one of the items is hot and the other is cold, one of them maybe absorbs taste and the other one only transmits taste or something like that. The Gemara goes with none of those possibilities. We look at which one is on top and which one is on bottom. Rav says, Ila agavar, that if the hot one is on top, then we view this as if it's hot and hot. If the hot one is on bottom, the cold one is on top, then we view this as a mix of cold and cold. That's why the Gemara introduces it by saying that if you have two hot items, taste gets transferred from one to the other. Two cold items, taste does not get transferred. So now, one hot, one cold, I need to know, do I view this like two hot items, or do I view it like two cold items? So Rav says, Ila agavar. You look at whatever the top one is, and pretend the bottom one is the same thing. So if the top one is hot, the bottom one is viewed as hot also, and they transmit time to each other. If the top one is cold, the bottom one is viewed as if it's cold too, and they don't transmit time from one to the other. But Shmuel, Amar Shmuel says, Tasa agavar. We don't look at the top one, we look at the bottom one. The bottom one is what determines whether there's a transmission of taste or not. So if the bottom one is hot, then we view them as if they're both hot and taste is transmitted from one to the other. And if the bottom one is cold, then we view them as if they are both cold. So far, so good. Are we clear on that? One, two, three, I don't know. Okay, good. So that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So how do you paskin whenever you have a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? So, Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedine, Hilchsa Kirav Bisuri. Generally speaking, when it comes to Dine Mamanus, we paskin like Shmuel, because Shmuel was a greater expert in Dine Mamanus, and generally speaking, when it comes to Isser Veheter, we paskin like Rav. Rav was considered the greater expert in Isser Veheter. Yet over here, we paskin like Shmuel. This is a rule breaker. Over here, we paskin like Shmuel. So therefore, we assume Tasa agavar, that the bottom hot food has the strength to heat up the food on top of it, causing the flavors to go back and forth between the two foods and asering everything. In the reverse case, the bottom food is cold and the top food is hot. Tasa agavar. It's like mixing two cold foods, and therefore tam does not get transferred between them. Rashi comments, why would we pass like Shmuel? V'yafel gav d'ilchsa k'rav b'yisuri b'ha hilchsa k'shmuel d'atanya tarti masnis and kav asikid l'kaman. The sugya is muchach like Shmuel, meaning the Gemara in Psachim goes on to bring a couple of braises that fit with Shmuel. So Shmuel has a lot more support for his shita, and therefore we're willing to paskin like Shmuel in this case. Why is it that Tasa Gavar, what's the Svara that Tasa Gavar? So Misvara, what would you say? Heat rises, right? That's one possible. There are two basic svaras that are offered by the Rishon. One is that heat rises. I don't remember who says what. One is that heat rises, and so therefore tasa matters, that the bottom one being hot matters. And the other one, whereas if the top one is hot, it's not going to sink. Heat's not going to sink. And the other is that that the weight of the top one sort of causes the bottom one to have a greater impact on it, because it's the top is weighing down on the bottom one. Whichever way, it's irrelevant. Whichever svara, I think it's largely irrelevant. We always assume tasaka.
Is there a shita that holds mount, meaning if one is has much more?
So we'll get to amounts soon, but at least at the basic level, not yet. Not yet. So we'll get to that soon. The Gemara then goes on to say that even when the bottom one is cold, so tasa gavar, so there's not going to be any transmission of taste if the bottom one is cold. The assumption is that the bottom one is cold means that when the top thing falls onto it, the hot item falls onto it, the hot item will be cooled off by the cold surface of the bottom of the bottom food item. So the Gemara points out, yeah, that's true, it will be cooled off, but that doesn't happen instantaneously. It will take a little bit of time. It will take a second or two before it cools off. And in that time that it takes for the top food to get cooled off by the bottom food, a little bit of time will get in. A little bit of time will sneak in from the bottom food into the top food. So even though we said tasa gavar, and therefore if the bottom food is cold, we view it as a mixture of two colds, it's not entirely true. It's almost true. If the bottom food is cold and the top food is hot, we view it as if they're both cold, but till they both actually get cold, we assume that there's a transference of time into a kedei klipa. Just the very outermost surface of each food, we assume time transferred at the very surface of the foods. Not beyond that. Not that time went all the way, traveled all the way through, but just at the very surface of the foods. We'll see soon that there are some exceptions to this din, but that's the assumption, that it's just at the kedei klipa. So the bottom piece absorbs a small amount of flavor from the food above it, and the top piece absorbs a small amount of flavor from the food below it, and therefore you're going to need to peel off a small layer from each, both from the uppermost surface of the bottom food and the lowermost surface of the top food. We need to be peeled off. So again, just very, very clear over here. You have a hot piece of meat that lands smack on a cold piece of cheese. So what do? Hot piece of meat lands smack on a cold piece of cheese. What's the halacha? Klipa. Peel off a little bit of the meat, the bottom surface of the meat, peel off the top surface of the cheese, and everything's going to be kosher. Everything's going to be kosher. A cold piece of meat lands smack on a cold piece of cheese? Just hadafa, just rinse it off. Hot piece of meat, hot piece of cheese, obviously both going to be totally awesome. Right? Cold piece of meat on a hot piece of cheese? Awesome, right? Because tasa gavar, right? Okay? So these are the basic rules. Now, all of this is talking about solids. I keep talking about cheese instead of talking about, when we normally talk about basar v'chalav, we talk about meat and milk, not meat and cheese. So what happens when you're dealing with a liquid, which is normally the case? By the way, this discussion of this sugya, is going to, it's not super practical, but, there are certain cases that might come up. Let's say, not what we're describing now, but we'll get to it soon. What if your freezer breaks, and you open up the freezer and everything's melted, and you see that there's just ice cream that has melted all over the meat that's below it? You throw everything out? You will, but the question is, do you have to? Right? Do you have to throw everything out in such a case? So we'll get to that as well. Okay. So now, let's say there's milk. Let's say there's liquid. Yeah.
Would you need to peel off the entire layer of meat, or only where the cheese fell?
Pasta's only where the cheese fell in.
Even if there's like the plastic
over it? Oh, no. So the plastic is going to protect it. That is the klipa, right?
That would, I guess that would be an issue.
Well, sometimes things get into things, especially if something melts. Right? So if boiling hot milk falls onto a cold piece of meat, right? So we would say tasa gavar. You would need to peel a thin layer from the meat, right? Because hot milk fell onto it. Okay, that's easy. And you would need to peel a thin layer off of the milk. Problem is, How do you peel a thin layer off of milk? Right? You can't do it. It's a liquid. So this is a machlokas rishonim. There's a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva. Both appear in the Nosei Kelim here on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. According to Rabbeinu Tam, don't worry about the milk. It's fine. Meaning, forget the Kadei Klipa. There's nothing you can do. There's no Kadei Klipa, so just drink it. It's okay. The Shach and Sifkat and Ches explains that there's no concept of Kadei Klipa when it comes to a liquid because it's all immediately mixed together. So there is no Kadei Klipa because there's no Klipa to remove. And therefore, it's all mutter. And that's true, the Shach holds, and this is the great Chiddush of the Shach, even if there's not that much milk. Why is that a great chiddush? If normally a kadei klipa would become aser, whatever that shear of kadei klipa would be, let's say kadei klipa, just pick a number, is one unit of milk, whatever unit you want to use, right? Kadei klipa would have been one unit of milk. And you only have a grand total of 5 units of milk, right? What would that halacha be? You would think, it's not batel, it needs to be batel b'shishim. But if I have a lot of milk, and the kadei klipa would have been one unit of milk, and I have 100 units of milk, okay, great. But the Shach says, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much milk there is. Whenever it's a liquid, we ignore Kadei Klipa. We just ignore the whole din of Kadei Klipa on the liquid. There is a sefer, Ohel Yaakov, which is written by a contemporary Rav, who tries to explain Yaradei, tries to explain the poskim and bring from later poskim that help explain the earlier poskim, a nice clearly written sefer. Anyway, in the Ohel Yaakov, he suggests to explain the Shach, to try to give some tam to this Rabbeinu Tam, some explanation to this Rabbeinu Tam, and Shach, and he says as follows. I don't know if it will help, but I'll just tell you what he says. I'll read what he says. Afal pisha kadei klipa shel basar niflat l'toch ha-chalav. Even though there is a kadei klipa of meat that got absorbed into the chalav, umatsanu kametayim b'achronim lama ha-chalav mutter. So the achronim go through many reasons. Why in the world would the chalav be mutter? Hashach b'sivkat m'ches kasav sha-chalav mutter mishum delo shayich bo klipa. The reason the chalav is mutter is because you can't do klipa on it. Dahainu, shu davar nivlov klipa nesarva. It's something that's totally mixed together, and therefore the klipa gets mixed in with everything else. V'lachein, here's the key: lo hichmiru chazal leasor as a chalav. That's the key. I mean, what he's trying to say is this whole din of kadei klipa, it's not really, it's not based in a physical reality. It's a chumra that chazal had. To be choshesh that maybe some time transfer could take klipa. Normally, tasal gavar. Tasal gavar means if the bottom thing is cold, it's like a mixture of cold and cold. There's no transfer of taste whatsoever. Me'ikar adin, when the bottom thing is cold, no taste transfers, period, end of story. Okay, but Chazal said, let's be choshesh if the top thing is hot, that there is kadei klipa. But Chazal are only going to introduce that chumra, meaning this explanation assumes that the whole thing is a chumra that Chazal had, but it's not a reality. It's not like a physical reality. So Chazal only introduced that chumrah when it's possible. But when it's not possible, namely, one of them is a liquid, so Chazal, I'm not going to introduce that chumrah. V'lechein lo hichmiru Chazal l'esves ha-chalav. V'ayin b'yad Yehuda b'pir sha-katzer sivkat n'yud-zayin. She'evi d'chein das harbe poskim l'hakel. Many poskim say like this. V'davka b'dover yovesh nivla hama'at kedei klipa. It's only by a davar yavesh that we assume that there's this blia of a kadei klipa that we have to be concerned about. But by davar lach, it just mixes in with all of it, and it can't mix in with all of it, and therefore we could be mekel. Then he says this is another interpretation. Maybe we always assume that there's a shishim. Kadei klipa is such a minuscule amount that no matter how much liquid it is, we can always assume there must be shishim. And you can't say that the klipa already became like a nevela because it gets mixed in with the whole mixture right away. So what he suggests, again, in explaining why it is that we're not measuring shishim and we don't need a kadei klipa on the liquid, is first of all, maybe kadei klipa is just a chumna, and Chazal are only going to be machmir when it's possible. Second of all, maybe we're willing to say that that tam will go into a kadei klipa when the kadei klipa is discernible from the rest. Well, and Kadei Klipa is not discernible from the rest. You can't say Tam is going into all of it, so it's going to be in all or nothing. Either Tam is going into all of it, or Tam is going into none of it. So you got to say nothing. Third, maybe there's an automatic assumption of Shishim, even if it's not measurable. Because Kadei Klipa is such a tiny amount, so you have to assume that there's an automatic assumption of Shishim.
In the case of where we say that an other liquid, that there's no Kadei Klipa in the case of liquid, so if I have like a bowl of like milk, is in there, and then there's like meat juice hitting the milk, so then would it be bulk of a Shishim?
What's hot?
If the milk is hot
and the meat juice lands in it, then it's all a treif. Right? So also, this also assumes that you can remove one from the other. If they're both liquid, they're going to get mixed together, you're not going to be able to remove one from the other. Then even if they're both cold, you're going to need shishim in one to be even vatal the other. Shishim to the meat, yeah, you would need shishim.
But liquid, so remember what the other way around? As in, because liquid is always moving, so if a piece of meat falls into liquid, then odds are it's touched a lot of the liquid. As in, it's not just frozen where it is, the liquid's constantly.
That's the kula over here. Meaning, because it's touched so much of the liquid, and it only has the capacity to transmit time into the first kadei klipa, there is no first kadei klipa. It's all of it, and it doesn't have the capacity to transmit time into all of it. I mean, kadei klipa, we're going to look at it as like the tiniest, minuscule amount. And it can't do more than that.
So why should that be different than by meat? I think by meat it can also only do that minuscule amount. So why by meat don't we also assume that it's automatically brought down?
Because you know where that minuscule amount is. It's the klipa, so you peel it right off.
Does it matter whether the liquid top or the solid is top?
It matters which one is on top, which one is on the bottom.
Loved up.
Although we may discuss that further.
Yeah.
Right.
So the first answer is that your physical reality is that zero contrast.
Right. And that all this is a chumrach shashema. So you don't have to say it. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. That it's a physical reality. Rove times, no, there won't be any time. Right. Elamai, maybe if it's super hot, there will be a little bit of time. So we're choshish for that. Chazal were choshish for it. Maybe that's the way to say it. Okay, that's all. Oh, there's more.
We were talking about like I don't remember what it's called. Like the meat that like comes like in like the wrapping, like you split the wrapping.
Yeah.
Like, the wrapping's not meat itself.
Okay, so we're talking about that all food is open, packages are open, nothing's in the package. If there are packages, everything's different. Everything's different.
Okay. If you have meat on the bottom.
We'll get to that. The assumption is that most of the milk will spill right off of the meat. You shake it off, and then you rinse off the milk, whatever's left in the sink. But you still have all that milk. Now, that's all Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. The Riva learns that there's always a klipa, and therefore, if milk falls onto meat, hot milk falls onto cold meat, there is a klipa of the milk that is becoming asur. It's becoming basur b'chalav. And in order for the milk to be kosher, you need shishim in the milk, kineged a kadei klipa of that milk. How do you measure what's a kadei klipa of the milk, though? It's a liquid. I don't know. You know, when it comes to the meat, I know the top surface. Sort of skim off the top surface. How do you measure a kadei klipa of the milk? So the post can assume by a kadei klipa of the meat. Meaning, whatever the volume is of a kadei klipa of the meat, that you need 60 times that amount of milk in order to become batel. That's the shita of the Riva. So now, how do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah over here paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Aval chalav roteach shenafal al basar tzonein o basar roteach shenafal leto chalav tzonein. Something hot falls on something cold. Kolef habasar v'shara basar mutar. You just have to peel off the top surface of the basar, and the basar is the rest of the basar is mutar. V'hachalav mutar kulo. And the milk is totally mutter. You don't need a kadei klipa. The Ramah added, "Ubamakom shabasa tzarach klipa in lokal fu bishlu kach mutter b'diavad." That if you didn't do a klipa of the basar and then you cooked the basar, so now once you cook it, now whatever was on that klipa is now totally absorbed in the rest of the meat. It's also going to be mutter. Why is that going to be mutter? Shouldn't you need shishim in the basar keneged that klipa?
Yeah,
Well, if you say when it's impossible, then it's mutter. So just like by chalav, it's impossible to isolate it. So it's impossible to isolate it once you've cooked it, and therefore it's all going to be mutter. The Taz, however, in Sivkat and Zayin, paskins like the Riva. So even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, the Taz paskins like the Riva. He brings a lot of rayas to the Riva, including that the Ramah himself in Siman Sadihei, which we will not get to this summer. See, if Gimel, the Ramah paskins, that if you pour from a Kli Rishon Shel Basar, ooh, who knows Hilcha Shabbos? Iroi Kli Rishon, you pour out of a Kli Rishon, what does that have the capacity to be Mevashel? No one learns Hilcha Shabbos. You learn Hilcha Shabbos, Iroi Kli Rishon. Iroi Kli Rishon. Kedei Klipa, it's Mevashel Kedei Klipa, right? That if you pour from a Klipa, remember, you talk, the example that's always given about Iroi Kli Rishon being Mevashel Kedei Klipa, that if you need to warm up a baby bottle, the baby bottle has milk in it, you're allowed to pour boiling hot water out of a Kli Rishon directly over the baby bottle. Why? Because it will only have the capacity to be Mevashel Kedei Klipa, and the outermost Klipa of the baby bottle is the bottle, it's not the milk. Right? So that's the example that they always give. But Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. So the Ramah is going to say, and the Halachos of Bishul and the Halachos of Blios are the same. So the Ramah is going to say in Siman Tzad Yesef Gimel that if you pour from a Kli Rishon Shel Basar, you take a Kli Rishon of meat and you pour it onto a Milchik Kli, that it asers the entire Kli. Iroi should only affect Kedei Klipa. And there's no way to be kolef the kli. You can't start peeling off a piece of the kli. So Elamai, you see that even when it's impossible to do klipa, we're still going to say it asers kedei klipa, right? We don't say, oh, whenever it's impossible, we just assume it's fine. And then at the very end, the Taz writes, v'chein reisi ba'agosha b'sofis v'heter kasuv b'shem mahari dahachi nahuk kiriva lahatzruch shishim v'chein alach lemaisa. Taz says very strongly, we pass on the Riva against Shulchan Aruch, against the Ramah. Okay, and against the Shach. Good, so that is, so far again, let's chazer what we've done over here. We had the Sugim Sachs Psach, Mila Gavar, Tasa Gavar, and we pass in Tasa Gavar like Shmuel, And we said that even though Tasa Gavar, if the Ila'a is hot, the Gemara added a Chumrah that you need what? Kedei Klipa. And we say, okay, that's good when they're, both things are solid. When one of them is a liquid, what do you do about that? How do you do a Kedei Klipa? So that is a Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva. Rabbeinu Tam says you ignore it. We had a few explanations of why in the world that would be okay to just ignore it. But you just ignore it because it's impossible to measure a Kedei Klipa. And the Riva says, no, a Kedei Klipa becomes Asr, and therefore you're going to need Shishim Keneged this year of a Kedei Klipa. Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah Paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Taz Paskins like the Riva. Now, hot milk falls on a cold piece of meat. So, tasa gavar, you need to peel off a thin layer of the meat, right? That's for sure. Comes along the Ramah in Sif Dalit. Says, what if you forgot to peel off a thin layer of the meat and you cook that meat with other pieces of meat? So you didn't peel off a thin layer of the meat, now you cook it with other pieces of meat. All the meat is mutzer b'diavad. So the Shach asks, right? Everything's going to be mutzer. So ask the Shach on the Ramah, if you remove a Kedei Klipa because you view that as being a mixture of milk and meat, why do I remove a Kedei Klipa of the meat? Because I think that Kedei Klipa is Basam Chalav. That's why I need to remove a Kedei Klipa, because I view that Kedei Klipa as Basam Chalav. Then why would you be allowed to eat the stew? Shouldn't you have to measure that there are 60 times in the stew, Keneged, the Kedei Klipa? Right? You should eat Shishim. So what's the answer? What's the Shach going to say? What's the answer? Based on what we just said? One at a time. what are we going to say? Klipa is a chumra, right? Or it's not shaykh, meaning there's no way to find the klipa anymore. It's all over the place, so you can't peel it off. So the shach says that Ramah is permitting b'diavad only in a case where the pieces of meat were crushed and the kedei klipa is gone; it's no longer identifiable. If that original piece of meat is still there and you can identify it, still peel off that clip of meat. Meaning, crushed meat or meat that's chopped up is just like milk. It's just like a liquid. That it's all over the place. But if the meat wasn't crushed, you need to remove a kedei klipa from that piece of meat. And then he says, and you're also going to need shishim times that klipa in the rest of the pot. Because since the klipa was forbidden, and it was cooked with the rest of the food, so you need shishim against it. Meaning, when do we say it's not possible? That's only if you're never going to be able to find that klipa. But if you can find that klipa, you can still identify where that klipa is. We view that klipa as basal chalav. And therefore, you're going to need shishim connected to the klipa to be mvatalit. So we only say that it's impossible, and therefore you don't need shishim. You can just, when you're not going to be able to find that klipa. That's the shita of the shach, sif katan ches. The Taz disagrees, understandably, predictably, I should say. The Taz disagrees. And he holds, like the Riva said, you always need shishim keneged the klipa, even with liquid, or even if the meat is crushed, you always need shishim keneged the klipa. So far we have 2 days. We have the shach, we have the Taz. Right? So again, hot milk falls onto a cold piece of meat, and then you cook that piece of meat without removing the klipa. So according to the shach, what would you say? Is the stew, the chalent or whatever, the stew of the meat stew, is it going to be kosher or not? According to the shach?
Yes.
Depends, right? If it was crushed or not. If the meat...
Chalent, it was crushed.
What?
What we're saying is like stew...
If all the pieces of meat were crushed and you can't find the klipa, then it's going to be mutter b'diavad. But if they're not all crushed and you can still find that kadei klipa, you got to peel it off and you're going to need shishim. According to the Taz, you're always going to need shishim. Crushed, not crushed, I don't care. You always need shishim to make the klipa. Right. So far we have the shach, we have the Taz, we have 2 days so far. There is a third day. Yeah.
Didn't we say for that plain piece of meat, though, that if you were to cook it by itself, there would be much to eat it? So why would it be different now that it's...
The Ramah said that plain piece of meat, if you were to cook by itself, would be much. So you're saying you should need shishim in that plain piece
either
of meat.
Either you need shishim or this stew is perfectly fine.
Right, well, it should be consistent.
Right.
So how did the Ramah say... Let's look at the lashon of Shulchan Aruch again. Umakam shabasur tzarech klipa im lo kalpuhu bishlu kach muter b'diavad. Yeah, the shach is making an ukimta, and he's saying, yeah, that's if it's crushed. Otherwise, in chinam you need shish. And when the Ramah says that it's muter b'diavad, that's only if it's crushed up. Good. So far we have the shach, we have the taz. Yeah. Yeah, so the Taz would say that you always need shishim, and he disagrees with Rama. Meaning the Rama is based on Rabbeinu Tam. Taz says we're Riva people, we're not Rabbeinu Tam people. Yeah. Comes along the Magen Avram. Magen Avram? Where do you find the Magen Avram? Not in the back. In Or HaChaim. Magen Avram is on Or HaChaim. It's not in Yerideya. How do you have Magen Avram in Yerideya? So where do we talk about Kashrus in Or HaChaim? And Tom transferring from this to that. Pesach. Hilchos Pesach. Shchit is in Yerideya. And, what? Yeah, Pesach.
Yeah.
I said, you're right.
Oh, what was
everything? I don't know. That's what I was saying. I got my attention. Pesach, you're right. It's Hilchos Pesach. That's it. It's not Shechita. Shechita is in Yerideya. And it's not Shabbos, because Shabbos is not about transference of Ham. Shabbos is about a malacha called Bishol. Right? So it's obviously going to be Pesach. So the Magen Avraham, Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tav Samach Zayin, Sif Katan Lamed Gimel, Magen Avraham writes as follows. Zidavka bedin tasa'a gavar, she'eno elo chumra bialma. The whole din of tasa'a gavar is a chumra bialma. Remember we were saying before, this whole idea that you need a klipa is only, who knows, maybe it got into a little bit. So the klipa is not going to answer the whole chaticha. But if you were to find a case where Meikra didn't you need klipa, then in the special blow klipa osaris hachaticha, then it would ask for everything. Ubachi Musulakim Kaltulumasachronim al Ramah, Bachem Forsh Patricia, he says, and with this one Yesod, you'll answer all the kashas, all the stiras between the Chas Pesach and the Chas Kashas. We didn't even get into any of the stiras or anything. But bottom line is what you need to know is the Magen Avraham understands the Ramah as written. The Ramah as the simplest Pshat. The Shach makes an ukimta in the Ramah that the Ramah is only talking about if it's crushed up. The Taz says the Ramah is wrong. The Magen Avraham is the only one that says, trust the Ramah for what he's saying. What did the Ramah say? That in a case where something hot fell on something cold, and therefore the hot cheese fell on cold meat, the meat needs a klipa, and if you don't do a klipa and you cook that entire piece of meat, mutter, not cheese, not mutter, not crush, not cheese, not nothing, mutter. Why is it mutter? Because whenever the din of kedei klipa is only a chumra, like it is in our sugya of Tasa Gavri Lo Gavar, if you don't do it and you cook it, it's going to be mutter. So again, Magen Avraham understands Ramah as written. Even if the meat gets cooked with other pieces of meat, all you need to do is peel the piece of meat that came in contact with the milk. You do not need shishim times the klipa in the pot or even in that piece of meat itself, like the Shach would have said. Magen Avraham explains, because our case, removing kitei klipa, it's only a chumra. So once it's removed, you don't need shishim. But when it's more than a chumra, as we'll soon see, a salty piece of meat touches cheese, then kitei klipa becomes more than a chumra. Then it becomes mikra adin, because there's a concept we're about to get into called maliach harehu kiroseach. Something salted is as if there's heat. So when it's mikra adin, then you would need shishim against the klipa, because the klipa is inherently aser. So the Rama makes the following statement. Hot milk fell on cold meat. Rama makes the statement. Hot milk fell on cold meat, and the meat was cooked before you removed the klipa. It's mutter. How does the Taz deal with that Rama? Rejects it. How does the Shach deal with that Rama? Okimta, that it's all, if it was crushed, you can't find it. How does the Magen Avraham deal with that Rama? Good, it's all straightforward. Because it's only a chumra, you don't need, if you could find it, take the klipa off, but you don't need shishim or anything, everything's going to be mutter. Good, that is the sugya of Ilah, Gavar Tasa, Gavar, as far as heat is concerned, if one of the items is hot and the other one is not hot. Now, there is a whole other way that tam can be transferred. Typically, tam only gets transferred with heat, right? The most fundamental rule in the kitchen, the most fundamental rule in kashrus is that for tam to get transferred from one thing to the other, you need heat. Without a heat medium, then there is no, without heat involved, there is no transference of tam. But there are lots of exceptions to that rule, right? The rule is a rule, but there are lots of exceptions. Like, what would be an exception to that rule? Kavush kemavushal, if something is soaked in something or pickled in something for over 24 hours, that's an exception. Tom can transfer it. Maliach, those are the two we're going to learn about, yeah? One second, there's one more, one other big one. And that is onions. Whenever you deal with onions, davar charif, lav davka onions, it could be anything that's charif, a radish, an onion, a lemon, anything that's charif, that has charifus to it, and you cut it with a knife, we assume that tam can transfer from the knife to the davar charif, even if everything is cold. And that's why, whenever anyone asks a shayla about something that went wrong in the kitchen, in a typical kosher kitchen, the answer is always going to be, b'diavad, it's fine. Unless there was an onion involved. I just gave you smicha right now. You could pass in any shayla that comes up in the kitchen. Someone said, I don't know, this fell into that, whatever. So you say, was there an onion involved? They say, no. 99% of the time, everything's okay. unless they say, oh, it was cheese that fell onto a burger and then I ate it, right? So that would be a problem, even if there's no onion involved. But generally speaking, if there's no onion involved in some accident, but whenever there's an onion involved, even if everything seems great, onions break all the rules. So we're not going to get into onions right now, but that's just an important thing to keep in the back of your mind. That if someone says, nothing could be wrong with this, but you see that there's an onion involved, ask a shayla, because probably there is something wrong. How do we pass it? Taz, Shachar, and Magen Avraham. I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't happen that much. The Taz would say you need shishim. Taz says you need shishim, and the Magen Avraham says totally not. Okay. The Gemara in Psachim and more at length in over here in Chulin on Daf Kufir Aleph on Beis going up to Kufir Beis on Aleph. And again, this is not super common in our modern day kitchens, but this is how you learn your day. You got to pick up the principles. The Gemara tells us Maliach Kroseach, that there's such a concept that whenever something is salty, Tom can transfer even though everything is cold. Something that's salted has the status of something that is hot, and therefore could be belay a flavor from foods that it comes in contact with. And that is a din drabanan. Either because Maliach Kroseach is a din drabanan in general, and it's therefore not Nosin Tam on the Daraisa level. It doesn't really Nosin Tam, it's just the Rabban where it goes there that we should pretend as if it's Nosin Tam. Or because it's not Derech Bishon. And that's why it's Rabban. Because for Basar B'chalav, what does the Torah say? What's the Yisra Basar B'chalav in the Torah? Lo, Sevash al Gedi B'chalav Gemov. So Derech Bishon lost the Torah, right? That was day one. Derech Bishol Asvatorah. So even if Tam transfers between Basar and Chalav, but it's not Derech Bishol, it wouldn't be Basar B'chalav Midaraisa. Right? So the whole din of Maliach Koroseach, as far as we're concerned, is only din Drabanan. Again, two possibilities why it's Drabanan. Either it's Drabanan because it's not really true. Maliach does not really transfer Tam, it's just a Chumar Midrabanan that it should transfer Tam. Or because even though it is really true, it is no Saint Tam, but it's not Derech Bishol. Kavush is different. Kavush Kamavushal is definitely no Saint Tam on a Daraisa level, but it's still not Derech Bishol, so it's only Drabanan. So by Kavush, we know why it's only Drabanan. When we say Kavush Kamavushal, that you have a piece of cheese soaking in meat juice for 24 hours, right, that it's considered that the whole thing is treif, the whole thing is basar b'chalav. That's a din drabanan, but we know why it's a din drabanan. It's a din drabanan because it's not Derech Bishol, but it's not because of a lack of transference of time. I mean, that's also much more easily proven that kavush actually does give time. Right? Does a pickle taste like a cucumber? No. Why? Because kavush is kumvushal. Kavush works. It actually definitely gives time. Right? So now, the Rashba in Taras Abayis Ha'aruch Bayis Dalit Shar Aleph, the Rashba's Sefer on Yerodea, basically, even though Yerodea didn't exist when the Rashba was writing, but the Rashba in Taras Abayis Ha'aruch explains that even though the nature of salt generally is to draw out, where do we see salt draw something out? What? In here. Karbanos, and not even the karbanos, by shechita, right? Whenever we eat meat, it's gone through a melicha. Anyone ever see shechita happen? Anyone ever go through? Where did you go? What? Yeah. Oh, you shechted at Yagilu. Did you then kasher the chicken? I assume it was a chicken, not a goat or something. It was a chicken. So did you then kasher it? How did you kasher it? Salted it, right? And you left it in the salt for how long? Half hour. And then you shake it, you rinse it, you shake it again, right? It goes through multiple rinses and shakes and whatever in order to get the salt out. If you go to, David Elliott or Empire or one of these places, they produce chicken on, so they have shochtim all the time. And then at the end of the process, they do a very serious malicha where it goes on an extremely, and after the malicha it goes on an extremely slow conveyor belt, and it's timed that it should be sitting in the salt for at least a half hour. Then the salt is shaken off and rinsed off and shaken, whatever, it goes through multiple rinses and it gets dropped so that it could be the salt could shake off, it gets dropped from a height and like lands or something and like salt flies everywhere, like it goes through a whole it's kedai to see sometime at some point in life. I remember when I learned Yerodea, when I was studying for Smicha, my Chavrusa Rabbi Adam Englander and I learned Shechita for like 3 months, and which we don't do in the Smicha program anymore, we just cut out Shechita. but at that time we had to learn Shechita, so we learned Shechita for like, it used to be you had to learn Treifus to get Smicha. because that used to be the main thing a rabbi did. A woman would come with a chicken and say, is it treif? And you'd have to look at the insides of the chicken and see if there's any hole in the lung or whatever, discoloration or something, a broken bone in a way that that would have made it a treif. You have to be able to tell that. So it used to be like you cannot get smicha. By the Sephardic smicha, it's still, you still have to learn shechita. Rabben Chaim Shlita in YU will not give Sephardic smicha unless you can shecht, not just learn Hilcha Shechita, like shecht. So when I was in YU, for some reason there was no room in the Beis Medrash for me, so I ended up learning in Rabben Chaim's Beis Medrash. So he had this little tiny Beis Medrash in the Morgenstern dorm. Maybe room for 15 people there. It wasn't a very big Beis Medrash. And he had like a chevra of guys that learned with him. And then me and Jonah Lerner, my Ashkenazi chavrusa, we were the two Ashkenazi guys that were sitting there learning together, not with him, but he would do the coolest things. Like he'd come in with animals and shechta. He sits there like without a sefer. He's like a legend. I don't know. He's like the godfather. He sits there without a sefer. Tikra et hashach. And the guy starts reading the shach, and he makes a mistake, and he corrects him. He says, like, he knows the whole thing about that. It's unbelievable. He's like, no, you skipped a line, and he reads the line for him. It was unbelievable. Anyway, so, one day he brought in a goat's head. I think he wanted to show treifus on the brain or something. I don't know what. I was trying to figure out why in the world he would bring a goat's head. I have no idea. My Hebrew is not fast enough to keep up with why he brought it. But then he left it there. When he left. So, like, he didn't bring it home with him. So at that time, they had in the YU library, for some reason, there was no security. No serious security anywhere on campus except for the library. Like, they were very nervous about the library. So, like, in the library, you had to, if you didn't have ID, you were not allowed into the library, no matter what. You couldn't sweet talk them, you couldn't anything, you couldn't say friend, whatever. You were not allowed into the library. So, and they would check bags and everything. So, one of the Sephardi guys, took the plastic bag, like, dripping with blood out of it, and he walked into the library, and the security guard says, I see what's in the bag. And he opens up the bag, and there's a severed goat head. and the guy says, okay, go ahead. So the smarty guy says, what would have to be in the bag for you to stop me? You know, I literally am walking in with a severed head. I still can't explain that story. So how did we get to that? The Rashba. The Rashba and Taras Abayas. Oh, the nature of salt, right, yeah. So melicha draws out the blood, right? That's the nature of salt. Salt draws out blood. So salt shouldn't really put something in. Its whole koach is to draw out, right? So if you put salt on meat, it shouldn't be transmitting anything into the meat. The whole koach of salt is that it's moshech. It's like a magnet that pulls all the blood out. And then when you shake it and rinse it or whatever, so all that blood gets washed away, and now you're allowed to eat meat. You might see that there's rare meat sometimes that looks like there's still blood in it. You go to a fancy restaurant, and you make the mistake of, or maybe you like it this way, and you order the meat rare, you will see that it's mamish bleeding. Right? That's not blood. That's meat juice. That's totally different. We assume melicha takes care of all the blood. That's halachically, that's meat juice. That's not blood. That's the way the halacha says. If you put it chemically tested, it's blood. That's meat juice. It's not blood. So that's the halacha. So salt has this ability, says the Rashba, to pull out. It doesn't absorb back in. If it did, it wouldn't work for melicha, because all the blood would go right back in. The whole point is that it's moshech all the blood out. So the Rashba raises this problem. He says, I don't understand how maliach karoseach, how it affects the transfer of tam into something. The whole nature of salt is to draw out blood and to be maflit. When there's an abundance of salt, then it even has the ability to be mavliya. That it's maflit umavliya. And therefore, if there's insufficient salt, we assume that there's no bliya whatsoever. As opposed to, the Rashba says, let's say there's a small degree of heat. So a small degree of heat will still be mavliya, just a little bit. But smaller amounts of salt are just not mavliya at all. So says the Rashba. The Gemara in Chulin Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis Din goes on to say that according to Ravin, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with this entire din. He rejects the whole din. He says Maliach Einu Krosach, Kavish Einu Kumvushal, just doesn't exist. So Tosus and Dibra Maschul Maliach, if you didn't see it today, this Gemara, take a look at that. I mean, the Tosus is a one-liner, but you'll see the Gemara tomorrow. Tosus writes that even though the Brisa in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says that salted fish transfers tam into the other fish, it may be different for fish, where the flesh is very soft. So maybe by fish you'll say salt can do anything, but Ravin reports in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I reject this whole principle, there's no such thing as Maliach Hareu Koraseach. Then the Gemara says, Hada Ravin Lesa, thank you Ravin for reporting that, you're wrong. There's no way Rabbi Yochanan rejects the din of Maliach Koraseach. Ravin came and said Kiyasa Ravin. When it says Kiyasa Ravin, what does it mean? That Ravin had traveled all the way from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel to report on the Gevaldika Shiurim that Rabbi Yochanan was saying in Eretz Yisrael. So he comes and he says, ooh, you should know, Rabbi Yochanan said this, Rabbi Yochanan said that. So they said, Shkayach, you're wrong. Rabbi Yochanan never said it. How do I know Rabbi Yochanan never said it? Because Rabbi Yochanan had another Talmud, Rav Ami. And Rav Ami was once in his house, and what happened was there was a Kli Cheres, and they salted meat in the Kli Cheres, meaning he was salting it to kasher it. He was salting meat in the Kli Cheres, and then after he finished salting the meat, he broke the Kli Cheres. He destroyed it. Why? Why did he destroy the Kli Cheres? Because he assumed it absorbed blood, and blood is not kosher. How did it absorb blood? The meat wasn't hot. How did it absorb blood? They were salting it. Maliach Koraseach. It absorbed blood, he threw it out. And Rabbi Ami was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So if he didn't get that from Rabbi Yochanan, where did he get it from? So therefore, we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds a Maliach Koraseach as well. Michti, Rabbi Ami Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan Hava. My time at Tavri, why would he break the Kli? Lav Mishum Deshmiel Emined Rabbi Yochanan Dam Maliach HaRei Koraseach. It must be that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, the Gemara concludes that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees Maliach Koraseach. Parenthetically, the Rishonim are bothered, why would Rabbi Ami break the Kli? Why didn't he just use it as a fruit bowl? What do you mean use it as a fruit bowl? Cold. Use it cold, dry fruits. That would be wrong. So one possibility is the Ramban writes in Chidushim that he was concerned that he might use it for hot. So he didn't want to leave it around to use for cold. Which conforms a lot to what we were discussing yesterday. Even if you make it like the Shach says only Derech Arai, whatever, because we're afraid that use it enough, you'll ultimately use it for hat. That's the Ramban. Alternatively, the Ramban says he was especially concerned about a Kli Cheres because a Kli Cheres is Balea so much that it becomes a Chefza Shel Isser. The whole thing becomes like a Chefza Shel Isser. The Ritva adds that he could have also sold it to a guy, but it must have not been worth that much. You know, it was like a Shalach Manas Kli. You know, it wasn't something that he really needed so terribly. Okay, that's just parenthetical. Now, how salted does salt have to be? So the Gemara goes on to explain. The Gemara Kuf Yud Beis tells us how Hu Bar Gozla. There was a bird. Dinafal lichta dekamcha chinna shar yirav chinna bered rava mi parshunya. There was a bird. There was bird meat that fell into kutach. What's kutach? Did we discuss kutach? Right. It's this dip that has milk and bread and what else did we say? Salt.
Whey.
Yeah. Spoiled milk, right? So there was a bird that fell into kutach. Problem is, kutach is milchix. But everything was raw and cold. But the kutach was salted. So Gemara says, Rav China bered de rava mi parshrunya was matirit. So Gemara explains, why in the world was he matirit? It's salted. Miliach ke roseach. Right? It should answer it. So answers the Gemara. Amar Rava comments, Man chachim lemishri ki agavne ilav Rav Chinna bered de rava mi pashrunya. Wow, what a Talmud chacham Rav Chinna bered de rava mi pashrunya is that he's smart enough to be matir such a thing. Kasavar ki amar Shmuel meliach harayu karaseach hani mili heichadeno nechal machmas molcho avalai kudcha harei nechal machmas molcho. Oh, meliach karaseach is not universal. Maliach Koraseach is not across the board. Maliach Koraseach only applies when it's really maluach. But when it's maluach to the point where it's not even edible because of its salting. But if it's nechal machmas malcha, that's not maluach enough to create a sense of roseach. That's not maluach enough to cause a transfer of tam. What does that phrase mean? She'eino ne'achol machlokes malchut. It's too salty to be eaten. So this is a four-way machlokes rishonim, what that means. Rashi, on the spot, says, Eino noach le'ochel merov melech shebo at she'shorin madich noso b'mayim ke'en melichas basar lahatznia. That sometimes they're going to salt meat to preserve it for a long time. Lahatznia. So it's not just the amount of salt you would use to draw the blood out, like a lot of salt. More salt than they would use to draw the blood out. Salt that was used as a preservative. Chazal very often referred to salt as a preservative. The Gemara refers to, the Gemara talks about melach mamon chaser. I think we mentioned that at some point also in the summer. That melach, the salt of money, is chaser. But what does it mean, the salt of money? The preservative. You want to preserve your money? Chaser. Give up a lot of it. Give a lot to tzedakah. And then you'll see you'll preserve your money. So melech over here, says Rashi, means preservative. That you're using so much salt that it's preserving the meat. And that's where it's inedible. Tosos, Dibra Maskal Hani Mili, you'll see tomorrow, quotes an unusual balatosos. What's unusual about this balatosos? It starts off right at the beginning of Tosos. Harav Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael. Two names. Never find Rishonim with two names. This is it. This is the only one. Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael. Yeah, I challenge you. What other Rishonim has two names? Don't say Yom Tov. That's one name. Right? Where do you ever have a Rishonim with two names? Doesn't happen. Two names was a later invention. Three names an even later invention. Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael. Now, and even when he did have two names, they were always the same name. Meaning they were affiliated with each other, right? It was Yaakov Yisrael because that was the same person. It was the same biblical character. It was Yaakov and it was Yisrael. So that became a very common practice when people did two names, right? They have, like, what's a good example? Aryaleib, right? So the Yiddish was just the translation of the Hebrew. So that became like a very good Tzvi Hirsch, right? That kind of thing would be very good. What? Tov Ber, yeah, so all those things. Yes, I mean, it's because he was Yosef Tov, so that's not really a translation. Tov is the bear. So just in Yiddish, it's Yasha Ber, it's a translation of Yosef Tov. Of Yasha Ber. Everyone, I mean, you know, everyone outside of YU. In YU, they call him the Rav, everywhere else they call him Rav Yasha Ber. Yeah, so Tosos quotes Rav Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael, who says, "Delo chashavenu nechol machmas malcho elam kein nimlach kein ibud," that the amount of salting it would need would be the amount that you would salt an animal hide to tan the hide. A huge amount of salt. Huge amounts of salt. From Tosos, it sounds like Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael agrees with Rashi, but when you look around another Rishonim, it's apparently different amounts of salt. But what they have in common is clearly that they're so salty that even after you rinse them, you still can't eat it. That's what the Rashi, and how salty does something have to be in order to transmit tam? So salty that even if you rinse the salt off, it's still going to be too salty to eat. That's the sheet of Rashi, and Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael comes along Rabbeinu Tam, and he yells, "No. Where do we ever have melicha? Melicha we have by every single animal you shecht. Right? Melicha is to draw the blood out. So we say, Eino nechol machmas malcha, we mean when it's still going through the melicha process and therefore it's still inedible. When does it become edible again? When you rinse the salt off and you shake the salt off. But if it has enough salt that you would be able to do melicha with it, which means while the salt is still on it, it's inedible. Then it's already enough to be melech kiroseach. Rabbeinu Tam says meluach l'kedera is considered eino nechol machmas malcho, because so long as meluach l'kedera means it's salted, so that you'll be able to cook it in a pot. The halacha is that if you barbecue meat, if you roast meat over an open fire, it doesn't need to be salted. We salt all our meat anyway because we don't know how people are going to eat it. But strictly speaking, if you roast meat over an open fire, it doesn't need to be salted. But if you put it in a pot and cook it, it needs to be salted. So that's what we call meluach l'kedera, salted enough that you could cook it in a pot. So it's considered eino nechol machmas malcho because as long as you didn't rinse it off yet, it's inedible. Once you rinse the salt off, so then it's no longer considered kroseach. Shulchan Aruch, Sifhei, Rabbeinu Tam, Paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. Fourth sheet is a sheet of Haravid. The Haravid says that if it's so salty that you wouldn't you wouldn't eat it alone. You would need to eat it together with something. The Ravid is Machol Sasuras Perktes Halacha Yurches, that you would need to eat it together with something else, with Liftan, then it's considered Einu Nechol Machnas Malcho. The Kash is that the Ravid in Tzimim Dayim points out what he doesn't like about the Rabbeinu Tam. It doesn't say Einu Nechol Im Malcho, it says Einu Nechol Machnas Malcho. Explain that to you. Eino nechal im molcho, im with an ayin, what does that mean? With, which would mean that would fit Rabbi Natan. You can't eat it while the salt is still there. Im, with the melech. But it's not what it says. It says Eino nechal machnas molcho. What does machnas imply? Because of the salt that it used to have on it, even if the salt is gone, it's just too salty. Right, that's why the Rabbi Tum Dame rejects Rabbi Natam. The Ritva also points out that the implication of Rabbi Natam is that it's not edible while it's being salted, but if it were edible, then you'd be allowed to eat it. But when a piece of meat is going through its salting process, you're not allowed to eat it. Why are you not allowed to eat a piece of meat while it's going through its salting process? It's full of blood. Right, that's what you have to shake it off and rinse it off and do all that. Rabbi Natan has rayas also, because he points out that each time the Gemara talks about cases of Maliach or Oseach, it seems like we're just talking about regular salting. It's Sadi Zayinim, Beis Kofir Alfim, Beis. He has many, many rayas. Okay. Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei Paskins, Maliach She'enu Yachol Yachol Machnas Molcho. Tahainu, Ke'ein Maliach She'molchem Le'kedera. Clearly like Rabbi Natan. Vishah Kedei Maliach Le'kedera. And you kept it in the salt long enough to salt for cooking. Calls man shalom idichu mikri in anechal machnas malcho. If you haven't yet rinsed off the salt, that's called in anechal machnas malcho. Calls man shalom sharu b'mayim dino krotech laser kadei klipa. And therefore, as the din of rotech, it's going to aser kadei klipa. This kadei klipa is not just a chumra. This kadei klipa, unlike by the ilah gavar tasa gavar, where we said that kadei klipa is a chumra, this kadei klipa is meikar adin. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ve'in chiluk bein meliach elyon v'tafel tachton lemeliach tachton v'tafel elyon liolam meliach mevliyah v'tafel ve'in abaleh mimenim." I don't care what's on top, what's on bottom. Meliach is always kerotech, meaning ilah gavur tesah gavur is irrelevant. Ilah gavur tesah gavur is only relevant when it comes to heat. When it comes to heat, there's no heat over here. What does that tell you? What's the svar of tesah gavur? Heat rises. There's no such thing as salt rises. Right? So therefore, it doesn't matter what's on top, what's on the bottom. In Sivav, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, Shem Haisa Shmeina, if it was a fatty piece of meat, Kula Asura. V'chein Chaverta Asura Kula, Mipnei Shashomim Mifapeya. That if in addition to salt, it's also a fatty piece of meat. So if one of the pieces is fatty and the salty piece is on the bottom, then both the pieces will become totally asur, because the fat helps the flavor transfer through the entire piece. Then the Rama adds two chumras, and you'll see, if you haven't seen any of this yet, you'll see this tomorrow. Take a look tomorrow in Seder. The Rama adds two pieces in Sifhei, two big chumras. Number one, V'yesh omrim da'anan in b'kiyim b'davar, V'yesh lanu lachshav afil melicha sli karoteach. Whoa! Chumra number one, pretty much any amount of salt is considered salty. So Tom's always going to transfer. Meaning, even if the meat was only salted enough to be allowed to barbecue it, which is very, very little salt, that's enough. Even if the pieces of meat are just very slightly salted, it's considered rotech, they could transfer Tom. And then a second chumra, that when it comes to fatty meat, we're not picking in that either. What's called fatty and what's not called fatty, all meat is fatty. Unless it's mamish bone dry, all meat is going to be considered fatty. So according to the Rama, even very slightly salted meat that isn't so fatty, that comes in contact with cheese or with non-kosher meat, what happens? The entire piece of meat becomes asr. Even very slightly salted and doesn't even look too fatty to you, the whole thing becomes asr. Because the whole thing, we view it as if it's maluach and it's transferring tam, and because it's fatty, it transfers tam throughout the whole thing. Again, being fatty alone won't transfer tam. It also needs salt. But he says any amount of salt makes it salty, so now tam is transferring, and once the tam is transferring, the fattiness moves the tam throughout the entire thing. However, even the Rama will be makel like the Shulchan Aruch if there's a hefzid merubah. He says, V'tov la'achmir b'davar b'makam shein hefzid merubah. But if it's going to be absent merubah, he knows that these are chumras, and therefore you don't have to be machmir on these matters when it's absent merubah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into what if the meat has cracks in it, what if, what happens if your freezer breaks and you find meat and milk that are somehow mixing together, how to handle that, and then we'll Be'ez Hashem move on as well. But we'll try to finish Sadi Aleph tomorrow. Then.
Classic example of a